fourth and final hour. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We've kind of covered the whole gambling aspect of things. We've kind of got that covered here.
We got it locked down. Lock of the week.
We don't have a sound for that, but
we're getting there.
We're working towards it.
On our way.
But I'm more nervous as the week goes on. I was just talking to Lou in the other room. Lou Merlone's, you know, in the other room.
From the M&M Investments pod.
Yes. Well, we weren't talking about that particular
game. No, I'm just saying where you might know him from.
But about the game. Yeah. And, you know, there's a little nervousness around here.
Eggshells.
And there probably should be.
Yeah, it's a good team. It's a really good team. The Patriots, I think, are also a good team. But most years, they're a great team. And they feel like this year they're a good team. And it seems like all four of the teams left in the AFC, I know the odds say, oh, the Chiefs are the favorite, followed by the Patriots or whatever, but I think all four teams have a pretty good chance of getting to the Super Bowl.
Mike Giardi going next generation statistics on us, you know, looking at this whole thing about, you know, the Chargers play six defensive backs more than anybody in the league. 60% of the time they've played six defensive backs. So you say, okay, well, then you run, right? The problem here is they're very predictable. Sony Michel and James Devlin ranked first and second in the NFL in highest run percentage when they're on the field. Mm-hmm. If they're on the field, they're running it. When both of them were on the field at the same time, 179 times, they ran the ball 82.7% of the time.
Oh, I thought it'd be higher.
82.7%.
Although Devlin's caught a handful of passes this year, so I guess they're trying to keep him honest
with
that.
It seems as though Michelle is kind of outside the passing circle of trust, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I hope he is. But it's funny because you go back to the Chargers game against the Ravens where they played a million DBs, but they did a good job against the run in that game. Because you'd say, oh, that's what they're going to do against the Patriots. You run. And now, I know how the Patriots run is different than how the Ravens run. Like, they really wanted to make sure they limited Lamar Jackson. But even still, that tells me that they have confidence that their safeties and corners can make tackles.
Yep.
And so, I don't know if that's necessarily a huge advantage for the Patriots. Like, if they play one or two linebackers most of the game, I don't know if that necessarily translates to Sony Michel running for 120 yards.
The Patriots are a pretty good offensive team, or have been a pretty good offensive team at times. They scored 30 or more points seven times. They had that stretch, like late October into November, where they were piling up the points.
Yeah.
Then that kind of dried up a little bit later on.
Then it cooled off just a bit. They had a nice stretch where they were scoring a ton of points. And then I don't know if it came with Tom Brady hurting his knee or what happened, or if defenses were catching up or... And even when they were scoring, they did seem somewhat predictable. And that's not something that you would always say about the Patriots. Like, when James White's out there, they're going to pass. And hopefully to him, because he's been really good.
I'll give you a morbid thought, too.
A morbid thought?
Well, if you're a Patriots fan.
Oh, boy.
There is the very real possibility, because chances are, even if you win this weekend, you're going on the road for the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
Chances are.
Chances.
Which means this may be the last time you ever get a chance to see Rob Gronkowski play in a Patriots uniform here.
Probably. You have two games tops left.
At the most. Well, I mean, look, we don't know that, but we think that's the case.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah, call it a hunch. But I mean, and what does he look like? Like, how does he go out? Like, is he capable? And I think a lot of people are split on that. When we were asking before about, do you think he has one more really big game left in him? And don't you get the sense that if you had to choose between the next 2 weeks, which game, if they even play next week, but if he was going to have a big game, it would more likely be this one coming off the bye.
It's home, coming off the bye. Yes, this would be the one where if you think Rob Gronkowski has one last claim to fame in him, wouldn't this be the one?
I would think so. I would absolutely
followed
think so,
by a possible Super Bowl performance if you were able to get that far, because again, bye week, neutral site.
Yeah, those would definitely be the ones. But I also feel like they might have some guys that can limit Gronk a little bit. You know, they might have the type of personnel. You know, the Chargers and the Colts both have better defenses than the Chiefs, but significantly better. So this is not the. Obviously, the Ravens are even better than that, so you do avoid the Ravens, but it's not like the Chargers have a pushover defense, so I'm sure they're going to have something up their sleeve for Gronk. You know, they already got maybe the best guy possible in the league to defend Edelman and Desmond King, so they're no slouch on that side either.
By the way, just a quick note, whenever you're talking about coaching, the Patriots always get the check mark, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, Anthony Lynn and all those Charger fans out there, but the Patriots have the decided advantage as far as coaching is concerned. And just to give you an idea of the difference between here and other places, today the Atlanta Falcons announced that they're adding an assistant coach. He was the assistant offensive line coach last year. His name is Kyle Flood.
Okay.
He's moved to an in-game position. Will help with replay challenges and clock management. Dan Quinn can't handle that.
No. Well, Belichick's got help too, doesn't he?
Well, he's got Ernie as far as replay. He doesn't have an assistant coach to help him with clock management.
No, but Ernie's helping out with the replays and stuff. That's pretty important. Well, every team needs an Ernie.
Yeah,
wouldn't you want an Ernie?
Oh no, a guy up there.
Yeah, you should.
He's got a guy on the sidelines to help him with replays.
It means he can't do it. But is anybody surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
They're probably a couple of years too late for that guy. Yeah, a lot of teams need all the help they can get. Anthony Lynn, though, hard to get a real good sense on him, right?
I don't know.
I'm not really sure. I think we'll have a lot better sense after this game on whether or not he's a real good head coach or whether he's just sort of in the middle of the pack.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Joe's in Lincoln. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
The Patriots.
Yep.
One of the reasons it's so hard to predict is because they've been so inconsistent all year. Every single part of the team has played well some games and played poor some games. Every single part.
True.
The only thing you could say for trending is that the defensive secondary is definitely getting better.
Yes.
That's about the only thing I can say for sure.
No, their secondary has been pretty good all year, now it's really good.
Yeah. Well, okay, anyway, the other thing that I haven't heard enough of, and I'm glad that he's not injured, I think Cordarrelle Patterson, people are overlooking him. This guy has such incredible, versatile set of skills. And I haven't heard, you remember that? I can't remember which game it was. They passed to him on third down, and he was stopped well short, but somehow he jumped up and twisted, and they gave him the first down, but then they reversed it because his shin was down.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
And that was just, I thought that was an amazing play, and I don't think people made enough of that.
See, I think Rich made a great point earlier where it may well be that the Chargers actually put another kicker on their roster today just because of Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I think they definitely did.
Kick returning, he's more than a kick returner. I don't know about his hands. I'm up there as route running, but you give him the ball and he runs over people.
Yeah, they've found a good way to use him, and it's funny because Mike Zimmer made a comment earlier in the year when they were playing the Vikings that they use him better than we did because he was in Minnesota. In fact, he was a first round pick by Minnesota, and they just didn't use him very well. And so he's a great return guy. And it's funny, you go back a year ago when the Patriots played the Raiders, and the Patriots constantly would do that short kick. They would kick it down to the two and try to get field position. Well, one of the few times that every time they would just kick it through the end zone was against the Raiders and Patterson. And so they knew that he was a weapon then. That was a bad team, but even then you didn't want to give them any opportunity at all. So I don't think he's much of a wide receiver. I really don't, but if they want to use him.
But if they can get the ball in his hands.
A couple of end arounds and all that stuff, fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Those sorts of things.
Right.
The more times they can get the ball in his hands, the better.
I mean, the most catches he had in a single game this year was 3. So it's not a guy you're going to be really relying on. And he also had a couple of games where he was almost like the lead back. He had a couple of games where he had double-digit carries. He had a game with 10 against Buffalo. Then he had the game against Green Bay. He had 11 carries. He actually looked a lot better in that game. But, yeah, you'll see some stuff. They'll use him a handful of times. But I don't know. I wouldn't say he's being overlooked.
617-779-7937. Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Listen, how you doing?
I'm good. All right. Thanks for asking. The stat you just threw out there with Tony Michel and James Devlin, their predictability when they run the ball in the backfield, I'm a little disappointed in you guys because you're good with your stats and everything. How are you going to give us that stat but not tell us their productivity numbers when they're in that particular situation? Because I don't care how predictable you are. If it's productive, you can't refute that.
Okay, so you think it's been really productive?
I mean, what, Sony Michel averages, 4.2 yards per carry, something like that right now?
I think it's better than that. At least I hope it's better than that.
The Patriots' rushing yards per carry as a team for the season was 17th best in the NFL.
Yeah, Sony Michel, 4.5 yards a carry, that's 30th in the league.
Well, I'm more curious specifically, and I don't know if you can even get that number, but how much yards per carry they gain when both of them are in the backfield? Because I know Sony carries the ball when he's in single set the back. So I'm curious if that predictable set actually hinders them or if it has any effect whatsoever. Because James Devlin, in my opinion, is an unsung hero for this team. He has been a vital part of this running game.
Is this Andy Hart?
Yes, here, yeah. Okay.
You sound all a right. lot like... Look, I like James Devlin a lot, and I like the fact that they utilized him. Remember they had that stretch in the middle of the season where he had a touchdown in like two or three straight games?
He was their best short yardage back. He still might be.
In fact, their short yardage stuff is not very good.
It's not great. I think also by comparison, the top two running backs for the Chargers, Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, were both top 10 in the league in yards per carry. They both averaged over 5 yards a carry. And then you combine that with the fact that the Patriots, to everybody, are giving up about 5 yards a carry. That's not a great combination. Like, those guys could be even better on Sunday.
I mean, you can hang your hat on the fact that Melvin Gordon is less than 100%, and he is.
That does help.
Sure. And the Patriots are, relatively speaking, about as healthy as you can be. Again, 100% attendance at practice today. The concerns you had in the bye week helped hugely here.
Yeah, for sure.
The Devin McCourty concussion incident. Cordarrelle Patterson was, you know, there was concerns about him. He's been practicing.
See, if they only had Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, and that was their team, I would have no doubt the Patriots would be able to come up with something to stop that. Even with their personnel. If that was all they had, I would say, okay, they could stop that. But when you also have to account for Keenan Allen and the Williams twins and Phillip Rivers, that's a whole different story.
Much has been made of the statistic that the other three quarterbacks left in the AFC have never beaten Tom Brady.
Right.
He is perfect against the other three. Mahomes is only the one, obviously.
Yep, that was a hell of a game.
Andrew Luck is 0-6 against him. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against him. But I've already said, I don't put much stock in past performances.
Yeah, especially some of those. You're going back 10
years. I mean, Mahomes maybe because it was this year.
But some of the Rivers games, you're going back like 10 years.
Right.
That's a completely different roster on both sides.
And Tom Brady was certainly different then than he is now.
Yeah, everything about it is different.
He certainly had different weapons
Randy
around
Moss.
Him.
Yeah. Like, that's how long ago you're talking about.
I so mean, it's a fun stat to look at.
It is. But the same thing, I mean, we talked about it this year. Not that he was undefeated, but pretty damn close against Ben Roethlisberger. And then this year happened, and Roethlisberger got the better of him.
Phil's in New Hampshire. Hey, Phil.
What's up, Phil?
Hey.
Yeah.
First of all, I love your show, you guys.
Thank you.
Really great sport, and, yes. and it's really great. But I want to talk about the L.A. game this weekend.
Yep.
Okay. Statistically, and this is what you guys have been pushing all morning as far as I can hear, is statistically, the Patriots don't really match up in a lot of ways with L.A., and that probably is really true, and I'm not going to argue that point. But the point that I would like to make is when it comes down to the quarterback and the coach, as we all know, I mean, we got the two that are number one in the world, okay? But statistically, they've been nowhere near close to number one in this particular year. But the fact of the matter is, the Patriots, in my opinion, and because of Belichick, have never been the type of team that goes after that front running wide receiver or whatever. They go after players that are really, really committed, guys that can play well, but guys that will commit to the team. And Brady is that kind of a quarterback. He's a team managing quarterback. And his stats may not look the greatest this year, but when it comes down to game management and team management, I don't think you can beat this guy.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel the same confidence-wise in Brady and Belichick this year as you did last year?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so that's where we disagree. Yeah, I don't. I think they've both gotten a little bit worse.
Well, you know, they have in terms of some of the results. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah.
But overall, I mean, when it comes down to it, the thing that scares me the most about L.A., I'll be honest with you, is the fact that Phil Rivers is a really good quarterback.
He is.
And you guys have pushed it, and you're right. I mean, the Patriots have dominated this guy over the years, and I think he knows that he's not going to have many more chances, and I'm scared of that. I will admit that.
Yeah, I agree. He's tough. He's as tough as you're going to get. It's not... Brock Osweiler from years past or Marcus Mariota or some of these other quarterbacks you face in the division around. Rivers the real deal. But I also, again, Brady and Belichick both to me are worse than they were a year ago. Or at least going into the playoffs, I had more confidence in both of them last season than I do this season doesn't mean you'd want anybody else
necessarily, but
it's just the reality is they're not as good as they were.
Like somebody on the text line said, well, Dale, how can you say that the Patriots have an advantage when you say Anthony Lynn is kind of unknown to you? The Patriots have the advantage in any coaching matchup. It's always going to be Belichick.
It's Belichick.
Even if he's, to your point, maybe hasn't made as many good decisions as he made last year.
You hope he plays Gilmore. You know, there are certain things like that that you still hope happen, or that Gronk doesn't play defense.
You hope Gronk isn't on defense at some point.
Right.
Yeah, it is a standard answer for me in any coaching matchup that the Patriots have.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they played the Rams in the Super Bowl, I would still say Belichick over McVay.
Of course.
That's my default mechanism.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The exclusive home of Patriots Monday with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com station. Trending now. Now from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio, the WEEI Trending Now.
It's 1:14. Here's what's trending now, brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook at Twin River Casino in Lincoln, Rhode Island, where you can bet on the divisional round games this week. In fact, you're going to want Shime's picks, as he went 4-0 on Wild Card Weekend. He just gave them out. You can go to at Dale Keefe, WEEI, on Twitter to get Shime's picks for the weekend. Celtics blew out the Pacers, 135-108. Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown, each scored 22 in the win. Caesar back on the floor tonight in Miami against the Heat. Tip-off at 7. Bruins will look to make it 6 in a row tonight. They take on the Washington Capitals at the Garden. Puck drop at 7. Patriots had perfect attendance at practice yesterday. Only Dwayne Allen and Dietrich Wise were limited. Pats face the Chargers on Sunday afternoon. And according to reports, Oklahoma quarterback and Heisman winner Kyler Murray, who was the 9th overall pick in the MLB draft by the Oakland A's, is expected to declare for the NFL draft. Weather brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic. Cloudy in Boston, temperatures in the mid-30s. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
He looks like he belongs on The Bachelor more than he belongs on the sideline as a head coach for a National Football League team. Am I missing something?
Dale Arnold.
What the heck do the Arizona Cardinals see besides a blindingly handsome man?
Rich Keefe.
It would be like the National Hockey League having 70% of the coaches be black and 95% of the players being white.
Dale and Keefe.
Wait, are you telling me this is the same guy that was also rapping a moment ago?
What? No.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We've kind of covered the whole gambling aspect of things. We've kind of got that covered here.
We got it locked down. Lock of the week.
We don't have a sound for that, but
we're getting there.
We're working towards it.
On our way.
But I'm more nervous as the week goes on. I was just talking to Lou in the other room. Lou Merlone's, you know, in the other room.
From the M&M Investments pod.
Yes. Well, we weren't talking about that particular,
no, I'm just
but
saying
about
where you might know him from.
But about the game. Yeah. And, you know, there's a little nervousness around here.
Eggshells.
And there probably should be.
Yeah, it's a good team. It's a really good team. The Patriots, I think, are also a good team. But most years, they're a great team. And they feel like this year, they're a good team. And it seems like all four of the teams left in the AFC... I know the odds say, oh, the Chiefs are the favorite, followed by the Patriots or whatever, but I think all four teams have a pretty good chance of getting to the Super Bowl.
Mike Giardi going next generation statistics on us, you know, looking at this whole thing about, you know, the Chargers play 6 defensive backs more than anybody in the league. 60% of the time they've played 6 defensive backs. So you say, okay, well, then you run, right? The problem here is they're very predictable. Sony Michel and James Devlin ranked 1st and 2nd in the NFL in highest run percentage when they're on the field. Mm-hmm. If they're on the field, they're running it. When both of them were on the field at the same time, 179 times, they ran the ball 82.7% of the time.
Oh, I thought it'd be higher.
82.7%.
Although Devlin's caught a handful of passes this year, so I guess they're trying to keep him honest
with
that.
It seems as though Michelle is kind of outside the passing circle of trust, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I hope he is. But it's funny because you go back to the Chargers game against the Ravens where they played a million DBs, but they did a good job against the run in that game. Because you'd say, oh, well, that's what they're going to do against the Patriots. You run. And now I know how the Patriots run is different than how the Ravens run. Like, they really wanted to make sure they limited Lamar Jackson. But even still, that tells me that they have confidence that their safeties and corners can make tackles.
Yep.
And so I don't know if that's necessarily a huge advantage for the Patriots. Like, if they play one or two linebackers most of the game, I don't know if that necessarily translates to Sony Michel running for 120 yards.
The Patriots are a pretty good offensive team, or have been a pretty good offensive team at times. They scored 30 or more points 7 times. They had that stretch like late October into November where they were piling up the points.
Yeah.
Then that kind of dried up a little bit later on.
Then it cooled off just a bit. They had a nice stretch where they were scoring a ton of points. And then I don't know if it came with Tom Brady hurting his knee or what happened, or if defenses were catching up. Even when they were scoring, they did seem somewhat predictable. And that's not something that you'd always say about the Patriots. Like, when James White's out there, they're going to pass. And hopefully to him, because he's been really good.
I'll give you a morbid thought, too.
A morbid thought?
Well, if you're a Patriots fan.
Oh, boy.
There is the very real possibility, because chances are, even if you win this weekend, you're going on the road for the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
Chances are.
Chances.
Which means this may be the last time you ever get a chance to see Rob Gronkowski play in a Patriots uniform here.
Probably. You have two games tops left.
At the most. Well, I mean, look, we don't know that, but we think that's the case.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah, call it a hunch. But, I mean, and what does he look like? Like, how does he go out? Like, is he capable? And I think a lot of people are split on that. When we were asking before about, do you think he has one more really big game left in him? And don't you get the sense that if you had to choose between the next 2 weeks, which game, if they even play next week, but if he was going to have a big game, it would more likely be this one coming off the bye.
It's home.
Yeah.
Coming off the bye. Yes, this would be the one where if you think Rob Gronkowski has one last claim to fame in him, wouldn't this be the one?
I would think so. I would absolutely
followed
think so,
by a possible Super Bowl performance if you were able to get that far, because again, bye week, neutral site.
Yeah. Those would definitely be the ones. But I also feel like they might have some guys that can limit Gronk a little bit. You know, they might have the type of personnel, you know, the Chargers and the Colts both have better defenses than the Chiefs, but significantly better. So this is not the... Obviously, the Ravens are even better than that, so you do avoid the Ravens, but it's not like the Chargers have a pushover defense. So I'm sure they're going to have something up their sleeve for Gronk. You know, they already got maybe the best guy possible in the league to defend Edelman and Desmond King. So, they're no slouch on that side either.
By the way, just a quick note. Whenever you're talking about coaching... The Patriots always get the check mark, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, Anthony Lynn and all those Charger fans out there, but the Patriots have the decided advantage as far as coaching is concerned. And just to give you an idea of the difference between here and other places, today the Atlanta Falcons announced that they're adding an assistant coach. He was the assistant offensive line coach last year. His name is Kyle Flood.
Okay.
He's moved to an in-game position. Will help with replay challenges and clock management. Dan Quinn can't handle that.
No. Well, Belichick's got help too, doesn't he?
Well, he's got Ernie as far as replay. He doesn't have an assistant coach to help him with clock management.
No, but Ernie's helping out with the replays and stuff. That's pretty important. Well, every team needs an Ernie.
Yeah,
wouldn't you want an Ernie?
Oh no, a guy up there.
Yeah, you should.
He's got a guy on the sidelines to help him with replays.
It means he can't do it. But is anybody surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
They're probably a couple of years too late for that guy. Yeah, a lot of teams need all the help they can get. Anthony Lynn, though. Hard to get a real good sense on him,
right? I don't know.
I'm not really sure. I think we'll have a lot better sense after this game on whether or not he's a real good head coach or whether he's just sort of in the middle of the pack.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Joe's in Lincoln. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
The Patriots.
Yep.
One of the reasons it's so hard to predict is because they've been so inconsistent all year. Every single part of the team has played well some games and played poor some games. Every single part.
True.
The only thing you could say for trending is that their defensive secondary is definitely getting better.
Yes.
That's about the only thing I can say for sure.
No, their secondary has been pretty good all year, and now it's really good.
Yeah. Well, okay, anyway, the other thing that I haven't heard enough of, and I'm glad that he's not injured, I think Cordarrelle Patterson, people are overlooking him. This guy has such incredible, versatile set of skills. And I haven't heard, you remember that, I can't remember which game it was. They passed to him on third down, and he was stopped well short, but somehow he jumped up and twisted, and they gave him the first down, but then they reversed it because his shin was down.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yes.
And that was just, I thought that was an amazing play, and I don't think people made enough of that.
See, I think Rich made a great point earlier where it may well be that the Chargers actually put another kicker on their roster today just because of Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, I think they definitely did.
Kick returning. He's more than a kick returner. I don't know about his hands. I must have his route running, but you give him the ball and he runs over people.
Yeah, they've found a good way to use him, and it's funny because Mike Zimmer made a comment earlier in the year when they were playing the Vikings that, yeah, they use him better than we did because he was in Minnesota. In fact, he was a first-round pick by Minnesota, and they didn't use him very well. And so he's a great return guy, and it's funny. You go back a year ago when the Patriots played the Raiders, and the Patriots constantly would do that short kick. They would kick it down to the two and try to get field position. Well, one of the few times that every time they would just kick it through the end zone was against the Raiders and Patterson. And so they knew that he was a weapon then. That was a bad team, but even then you didn't want to give them any opportunity at all. So I don't think he's much of a wide receiver. I really don't, but if they want to use
him. But if they can get the ball in his hands.
A couple of end arounds and all that stuff, fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Those sorts of things.
Right.
The more times they can get the ball in his hands, the better.
I mean, the most catches he had in a single game this year was 3. So it's not a guy you're going to be really relying on. And he also had a couple of games where he was almost like the lead back. He had a couple of games where he had double-digit carries. He had a game with 10 against Buffalo. Then he had the game against Green Bay. He had 11 carries. He actually looked a lot better in that game. But, yeah, you'll see some stuff. They'll use him a handful of times. But I don't know. I wouldn't say he's being overlooked.
617-779-7937. Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
How's the new fellas?
Listen, how you doing?
I'm good. All right. Thanks for asking. The stat you just threw out there with Tony Michel and James Devlin, their predictability when they run the ball in the backfield, I'm a little disappointed in you guys because you're good with your stats and everything. How are you going to give us that stat but not tell us their productivity numbers when they're in that particular situation? Because I don't care how predictable you are, if it's productive, like you can't refute that.
Okay, so you think it's been really productive?
I mean, what, Sony Michel averages, what, 4.2 yards per carry, something like that right now? Like,
no, I think it's better than that. At least I hope it's better than that.
The Patriots' rushing yards per carry as a team for the season was 17th best in the NFL.
Yeah, Sony Michel, 4.5 yards a carry, that's 30th in the league.
Well, I'm more curious specifically, and I don't know if you can even get that number, but how much yards per carry they gain when both of them are in the backfield? Because I know Sony carries the ball when he's in single set at the back. So I'm curious if that predictable set actually hinders them or if it has any effect whatsoever. Because James Devlin, in my opinion, is an unsung hero for this team. He has been a vital part of this running game.
Is this Andy Hart?
Yeah, sir. Yeah. Okay.
You sound all a right. lot like... Look, I like James Devlin a lot, and I like the fact that they utilized him. Remember they had that stretch in the middle of the season where he had a touchdown in like two or three straight games?
He was their best short yardage back. He still might be.
In fact, their short yardage stuff is not very good.
It's not great. I think also by comparison, the top two running backs for the Chargers, Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, were both top 10 in the league in yards per carry. They both averaged over 5 yards a carry. And then you combine that with the fact that the Patriots, to everybody, are giving up about 5 yards a carry. That's not a great combination. Like, those guys could be even better on Sunday.
I mean, you can hang your hat on the fact that Melvin Gordon is less than 100%, and he is.
That does help.
Sure. And the Patriots are, relatively speaking, about as healthy as you can be. Again, 100% attendance at practice today. The concerns you had in the bye week helped hugely here.
Yeah, for sure.
The Devin McCourty concussion incident. Cordero Patterson was, there was concerns about him. He's been practicing.
See, if they only had Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler, and that was their team, I would have no doubt the Patriots would be able to come up with something to stop that. Even with their personnel. If that was all they had, I would say, okay, they could stop that. But when you also have to account for Keenan Allen and the Williams twins and Phillip Rivers, that's a whole different story.
Much has been made of the statistic that the other three quarterbacks left in the AFC have never beaten Tom Brady.
Right.
He is perfect against the other three. Mahomes is only the one, obviously.
Yep, and that was a hell of a game.
Andrew Luck is 0-6 against him. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against him. But I've already said, I don't put much stock in past performances. performances.
Yeah, especially some of those. You're going back 10
years. I mean, Mahomes maybe because it was this year.
But some of the Rivers games, you're going back like 10 years.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a completely different roster on both sides.
And Tom Brady was certainly different then than he is now.
Yeah, everything about it is different.
He certainly had different weapons around him.
Randy Moss. Yeah. Like, that's how long ago you're talking about.
I mean, it's a fun stat to look at.
It is. But the same thing, I mean, we talked about it this year. Not that he was undefeated, but pretty damn close against Ben Roethlisberger. And then this year happened, and Roethlisberger got the better of him.
Phil's in New Hampshire. Hey, Phil.
What's up, Phil?
Hey. Yeah. First of all, I love your show, you guys.
Thank you.
Really great sport, and it's really great. But I want to talk about the L.A. game this weekend.
Yep.
Okay. Statistically, and this is what you guys have been pushing all morning as far as I can hear, statistically, the Patriots don't really match up in a lot of ways with L.A., and that probably is really true, and I'm not going to argue that point. But the point that I would like to make is when it comes down to the quarterback and the coach, as we all know, I mean, we got the two that are number one in the world, okay? But statistically, they've been nowhere near close to number one in this particular year. But the fact of the matter is, the Patriots, in my opinion, and because of Belichick, have never been the type of team that goes after that, front-running wide receiver or whatever. They go after players that are really, really committed, guys that can play well, but guys that will commit to the team. And Brady is that kind of a quarterback. He's a team-managing quarterback. And his stats may not look the greatest this year, but when it comes down to game management and team management, I don't think you can beat this guy.
So let me ask you this. Did you feel the same confidence-wise in Brady and Belichick this year as you did last year?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so that's where we disagree. Yeah, I don't. I think they've both gotten a little bit worse.
Well, you know, they have in terms of some of the results. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah.
But overall, I mean, when it comes down to it, the thing that scares me the most about L.A., I'll be honest with you, is the fact that Phil Rivers is a really good quarterback.
He is.
And you guys have pushed it, and you're right. I mean, the Patriots have dominated this guy over the years, and I think he knows that he's not going to have many more chances, and I'm scared of that. I will admit that.
Yeah, I agree. He's tough. He's as tough as you're going to get. It's not Brock Osweiler from years past or Marcus Mariota or some of these other quarterbacks he faced in the divisional round. Rivers the real deal. But I also, again, Brady and Belichick both to me are worse than they were a year ago, or at least going into the playoffs, I had more confidence in both of them last season than I do this season. Doesn't mean you'd want anybody else
necessarily.
It's just the reality is they're not as good as they were.
Like somebody on the text line said, well, Dale, how can you say that the Patriots have an advantage when you say Anthony Lynn is kind of unknown to you? The Patriots have the advantage in any coaching matchup. It's always going to be Belichick.
It's Belichick.
Even if he's, to your point, maybe hasn't made as many good decisions as he made last year.
You hope he plays Gilmore. You know, there are certain things like that that you still hope happen. Or that Gronk doesn't play defense.
You hope that Gronk isn't on defense at some point.
Right.
Yeah, it is a standard answer for me in any coaching matchup that the Patriots have.
Yeah.
And you know what? If they played the Rams in the Super Bowl, I would still say Belichick over McVay.
Of course.
That's my default. That's my default mechanism.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Don't miss Boomer Esiason and each and every Patriots Monday on Boston's number one morning show, Mud and Callahan. Brought to you in part by DCU, proud supporter of the Boomer Esiason Foundation Sachs for Cystic Fibrosis Scholarship Program, made possible by AbbVie.
Every insurance company promises you the lowest rates, and how about great service? Sound familiar? This is Ellie Kaplansky with Kaplansky Insurance. Some will tell you insurance is simple. Remember that when you have to file a claim and you don't have the right coverage. Another gimmick is a low teaser rate, and bam, your rates go up in 6 months for no apparent reason. At Kaplansky, we custom design your policy for your specific needs. The right coverage at the lowest possible price. Kaplansky Insurance represents most major companies, and we truly offer one-stop shopping for auto, home, business, and life. We partner with respected companies like Mapfre Insurance. Mapfre believes in keeping you safe. And getting a quote is easy. Call us at 800-640-2020 or online at Kaplansky.com. We're locally owned and we're in your neighborhood. 800-640-2020 or Kaplansky.com. Auto, home, business, life. Kaplansky.com. There is a difference.
It's back. Bourbon and Bacon Fest. March 9th and 10th at the Castle Park Plaza. Simply the most savory bacon dishes and bourbons from around the country. Tickets are on sale now at baconevent.com. VIP tickets get you early entry and tastings of exclusive VIP bourbons. Due to popular demand, they've added a third session. That's right. Two sessions on Saturday, a third on Sunday. A big thanks to North Country Smokehouse for supplying the bacon. Bourbon and Bacon Fest 2019. March 9th and 10th. Get your tickets now at baconevent.com.
Every day I see so many guys with thinning and balding hair, and I wonder, why don't they do something about it? Some guys cover it up with hats, some comb it over a certain way, and they hope it doesn't get too windy. And then there are those who go with the shaved head, which looks great if you have the right kind of head. But if you don't, like me, mine would look like a package of hot dogs up there. That's not a fabulous look. So whatever you do, I have a feeling you'd prefer not to have a hair problem. You don't have to anymore if you do what I did and get in touch with DiStefano Hair Restoration. DiStefano Hair Restoration will make such a positive change in how you look and how you feel about yourself. You'll have new confidence. I just wish I'd done it sooner. The choice is yours. Continue losing your hair or call DiStefano Hair Restoration like I did. Why put off the call that you probably think about every day? Call DiStefano Hair Restoration, where financing is available with payments as low as $119 a month. Call 800-460-HAIR. That's 800-460-HAIR, or visit hairman.com.
Who couldn't use some extra money after the holidays? You may have money just waiting to be claimed at findmassmoney.com. All you got to do is log on to findmassmoney.com, plug in your name and hometown, and find out instantly if you're on the list. findmassmoney.com is a service of the state treasurer's office, and they've paid out over $225 million over the past 2 years. They're currently holding over $3 billion in unclaimed funds for the citizens and businesses of the Commonwealth. findmassmoney.com. Fast, easy, and free.
Attention baseball fans and business leaders. Baseball's brightest minds are coming together for Foundation to be named later's Business of Baseball Lunch on Friday, February 1st at the Seaport Hotel from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Join us for a discussion that includes World Series winning Red Sox manager Alex Cora, Yankee legend Bernie Williams, and Peter Gammons with others. Tickets on sale now at foundationtobenamedlater.org. Remember, this special Business of Baseball Lunch fundraiser is at the Seaport Hotel on Friday, February 1st. Brought to you in part by WEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Here's another On the Road report, courtesy of the Boston RV and Camping Expo. Turn your next trip into an adventure with a new Roadtec RV. Find your favorite model at Crowley RV and see why they're consistently voted Connecticut's best RV dealer. And if you're looking for a destination for even the largest RV or big rig, Danforth Bay Camping and RV Resort has over 300 sites spread across 185 forested acres along Ossipee Lake. The Boston RV and Camping Expo, January 18th through the 21st at the Boston Convention Center. Visit bostonrvexpo.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't mess around. They could take everything from you. But the game changes when you have a team of tax experts on your side. Like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating from the BBB. They can protect your paycheck, assets, and everything you've worked so hard for by fighting to get you the best possible tax settlement. Call Optima now for your free consultation.
Call 800-951-6844. 800-951-6844.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susan G. Komen and the Ad Council.
Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
Duke Kingsbury that just got hired by the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, my goodness. John, JC, did I miss something? Was Kingsbury's team the one that won the national championship this Monday instead of Dabo Sweeney? Was that his team? Am I missing something? I don't understand.
You knew he was going to work himself up into a high dudgeon today, didn't
upset.
You?
He was upset. Cliff Kingsbury.
Stephen A., and we mentioned this earlier, 6 of the 8 openings in the NFL, head coach openings, have now been filled all by white coaching candidates. Two are left. You've got Cincinnati and Miami, and it would appear that black coaching candidates are at least being greatly considered, if not the favorites, in both of those.
Right.
But Stephen A., well, he was all cranked up, and he was going to let it fly.
Is there something that I have missed here? Is there something that I have failed to comprehend? Is this guy some golden boy that I missed? Was this guy the hot ticket that everybody should be clamoring for? The man didn't even have a 500 record at Texas Tech. He got an offensive coordinator's job at USC, and before he had a chance to take a leak, this brother's got a head coaching job in the National Football League. How much time, Duno, John, did he actually spend at USC? What, a week? He didn't even have an opportunity to go to Roscoe's for chicken and waffles. I mean, what the hell is going on? And this guy is some candidate that you're clamoring for? Okay, okay, he's photogenic. The ladies will love Mr. Kingsbury. Mr. Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, let's stop the presses right now. The ladies are going to be all over the place drooling over Cliff Kingsbury. He's photogenic. In some people's eyes, it looks like a model. In my personal opinion, he looks like he belongs on The Bachelor. Here's the problem. He looks like he belongs on The Bachelor more than he belongs on the sideline as a head coach for a National Football League team. You got to be kidding me. He coached Patrick Mahomes. He coached Case Keenum. He coached Johnny Manziel. Really?
Really? Well, he did.
Okay.
I feel like he is handsome shaming. Like, he's basically claiming that he won't be a good coach
all the time. It does. I mean, come on, you guys.
I'm used to it, but it feels like he's saying Kingsbury can't be a good coach
because he's too good looking.
Right.
He's too pretty to be a good head coach.
Is that really a thing?
So Sean McVay's a good-looking dude.
That's right. That's sort of the whole model here.
And the ladies are going to be all over the place drooling over Cliff Kingsbury.
And fact, Shime, that you're confident enough to say that you think Sean McVay's
I'm very confident.
Handsome
enough,
man.
I think Adam Gase, not a bad-looking guy either.
Good point. Sneaky good-looking,
right?
Adam
Gase. Take his hat off, maybe move his hair a little bit. He's looking good.
Nobody talks about Adam Gase. In shape, the whole thing. Commands a sideline. I like a man with confidence. He seems to have some. Maybe not enough. Kingsbury, though, did coach all those quarterbacks, and he does have a head coach experience.
You get the sense that if Cliff Kingsbury were Denzel Washington, he'd be okay with the head coach of the Cardinals being a pretty guy.
Perhaps. I do get a little bit of that sense.
You get the sense that there's an issue that Stephen A. has with Kingsbury getting the job.
Yes.
And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he's a handsome guy.
Because I also would wonder, like, is he in favor of retread coaches? Because I don't. And I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury was the perfect hire.
No, I thought it was silly that they gave him the job with a 35-44 collegiate record.
But I would prefer Kingsbury, Kitchens, LaFleur than I would Jim Caldwell, Chuck Pagano, even Mike McCarthy. Like, I think I like the chance.
I mean, what the hell is going on?
I like the unknown, I think, when it comes to a head coach more than the known. Because how many known coaches that you think are really good are even available? Like, they're all still on teams. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about Bruce Arians because he did have a lot of successful seasons. So maybe he'll be a good hire for the Bucs. You know, he was really good that one year that he took over in Indy, and then he was solid in Arizona. So maybe he'll be fine.
He's photogenic.
He's super photogenic. So is his girlfriend, also photogenic.
I was talking about Bruce Arians.
Oh, he's not. No.
No, not so much. No.
He's like your classic kind of ghoulish
he looks
toad
like
a coach. Don't you think?
I wasn't going to go with toad.
Do you think he looks like a toad?
That seems a little harsh.
Why?
Would you want to be called a toad?
I don't look like a toad. I look like a lot of things, but not a toad. That's what he looks like. Who knows? Have you ever seen that guy without his hat? Who knows?
I have during the broadcast.
Yeah, the broadcast. He wears
the hat.
Not all the time.
Oh, okay. So the last broadcast I remember.
It's got a nice shiny dome.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like, what would you say? Not a hippopotamus, but he looks a little bit like a...
Toad to hippopotamus?
Like a dump of a man. You don't think so?
Wow.
Honestly, what do you think Bruce Arians looks like compared to Cliff Kingsbury?
Out of shape older man.
I mean, everybody's going to suffer in comparison to Cliff Kingsbury.
Right. What about...
How does Bill Belichick look next to Cliff Kingsbury?
Great.
not so
he
much.
He looks great. I've seen him in like a Bermuda shirt.
Bruce just looks like an older kangaroo.
He's an old kangaroo.
He does.
Those kangaroos are fit, though.
Like a marsupial of some sort. He looks like a wombat.
Those are more compliments.
I'll say this. When the Arizona Cardinals start next year like 1-6, the pitchforks and torches are going to be out for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, it's a weird hire, but it's also a team that just fired a coach after 1 year. So if anybody is going to have sort of an outside the box, like why would they fire Steve Wilks to give the job to some other retread coach? And first of all, you knew it was going to be offensive. They didn't just Steve Wilks, defensive guy. They just had him. So you can him. You have a rookie quarterback this year. There's rumors that you might even get a rookie quarterback next year. We were talking earlier in the day. There's different rumors out there. The Cardinals might take Kyler Murray. They have the first pick in the draft, and they might go back-to-back years, top 10 picks, quarterbacks. They would have to trade Josh Rosen, obviously, but they want to restart from their restart from just a year ago. That's a quick reset button. But that's what it looks like they're doing in Arizona. But yeah, everybody's waiting for him to fail because he wasn't a very good college coach.
They want him to fail.
Yeah. So,
except the ladies, according to Stephen A., they don't want him to fail.
But so if he was a successful college coach, and let's not say... You know, Dabo Sweeney.
He apparently has no desire to go to the NFL. At least he's expressed none to this
point.
But
I'm saying if Cliff Kingsbury had a Mike Leach on the field track record, like you're winning the Cotton Bowl. Like you're not going to the BCS National Championship, but you're a good team every single year. Do you think people would have the same problem? Because you got to admit, it is pretty glaring that he was below 500 as a college coach.
I didn't understand the move. I understood what they think they were getting. They think they're getting the next Sean McVay. Right. We got to find the next Sean McVay, which is a blindingly handsome guy with a real hot girlfriend who's young, had a little scruff of a beard, and can maybe coach some offense.
Looks great with sunglasses.
I mean,
great
that seems
sunglasses.
To have been the checklist of characteristics they were looking for.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody who's great with quarterbacks. Because that's the other part of it, too, is Sean McVay did turn Jared Goff into what looked like maybe a bust into a solid quarterback. And that's the hope that Kingsbury can do that with Josh Rosen. That's the whole reason you bring him in. And Stephen A. kind of dismissing the fact that he did coach Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, Case Keenum. I think that's pretty relevant. I think if he did not have a list of most of those guys, they were all in the NFL at one point. Two of them are very successful right now. If he didn't have that list, I bet he wouldn't be a head coach right now.
But boy, do people want him to fail. Heck, Arizona Cardinals fans weren't that fired up about hiring him.
It was funny. Freddie Kitchens, who he may not look like it now, but he was a quarterback at Alabama. He's also put on some bad weight.
He doesn't look so much like a quarterback anymore.
He looks more like Jared Lorenzen than he does Cliff Kingsbury.
Looks like a toad, I think, is what you were going for earlier.
I think he looks like a toad a little bit. Rossi, what's wrong with you? You're mad now?
Was this guy the hot ticket that everybody should be clamoring for?
So yesterday, if you went on Wikipedia and you typed in Freddie Kitchens, it says what his job title was next head coach to be fired. That's what the position said.
It's possible.
That has been changed. It is now just head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we're not able to get to through the course of the program.
What else you got?
I will start.
All right, Dale, what do you got? So, what else you got?
Last year, when the baseball arbitration case came up for Mookie Betts, the Red Sox, according to Jeff Passan, created a video of Chris Bryant.
Okay.
And they basically played the video to the three-person arbitration panel and said, hey, Mookie Betts is no Chris Bryant. That's what they did. That was their case, was that Mookie Betts was not Chris Bryant.
Really?
And Mookie won the $10.5 million number that he requested as opposed to the $7.5 million salary. So tomorrow's the day in Major League Baseball. 1 p.m. Friday, the 175 or so players eligible for arbitration, this is when they file their numbers.
Here we go.
So the question is, Betts got $10.5 million last year in arbitration.
20.
As Passan points out, they give special favor to those with hardware. He's got an MVP. He's got a World Series.
Silver Slugger.
The record for largest raise in a season made in arbitration was Max Scherzer, $8.8 million raise in 1 year. Nelson Arenado got a $17.7 million salary as a third-time eligible player.
Yeah, Nolan.
He's going to beat both of those. He's going to get a bigger raise than Scherzer. He's going to get a bigger number than Arenado. I think your 20 is in the ballpark.
Probably 20. Do you think they offer him a 10-year deal right now? And say, hey, why don't you skip arbitration?
So.
Why don't we just get to it?
I mean, I hope they do.
And if they do, will he accept it?
If he files for $20 million, it'll be the absolute new high number that anybody's ever filed for in arbitration.
He's got the best case possible.
And you know what? I think he's got a shot at it.
Like MVP World Series in his prime, still really young. What else do you want? Pretty good.
What else you got?
Well, we didn't get to it today. We were so football heavy today, but the Celtics had a really impressive win last night against the Indiana Pacers at home. Pretty balanced scoring once again. And these numbers, courtesy of Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston, this breaks it down pretty well for you. First 20 games of the season versus the most recent 20 games of the season. First 20 games of the season, their offensive rating, 27th in the league. Points per game, 24th in the league. Assists per game, 11th. And they were 10-10 over that stretch.
Not so good.
The most recent 20 games, offensive rating, first. Points per game, first. Assists per game, first. And they're 15-5.
Those might be related,
five.
By the way.
I would say they're very related.
Hello, I am a liar.
That's right. Well, at least Forsberg, anyway. Chris Forsberg had those numbers. 15-5 over the last 20, and that's a really good win against a solid team last night. They blew them out. They were great, so they beat the Pacers. What is that, three or four straight games now?
Four
in a row now.
And as you kind of ended with yesterday, Victor Oladipo held in check.
They did. They were able to, who's killed him before, absolutely destroyed him before, held him in check. So that was a nice, one of the better wins of the season for the Celtics last night.
Tomorrow, we'll talk about the Bruins game tonight at home against the defending Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals and Alex Ovechkin. We'll get you even closer to the Patriots playoff game this weekend. And a special quick thanks to the texter who answered your question about who Bruce Arians looks like. Burl Ives.
Burl Ives. He does look like Burl Ives.
That's
the
it.
The snowman version?
The actual person.
Yeah. So our gambling guy, Shime, is in again tomorrow. Let me ask you this, Shime, because Shime's been right about everything. Michael Irvin normally joins us on Fridays.
What are you setting the odds on him being with us tomorrow?
Will he be on the show tomorrow?
I'm going to go with yes.
How about that?
I did not tell this to Shime earlier. I've been going back and forth with this PR woman, and she said all signs look to a 1 o'clock appearance.
The Cowboys play this weekend, though.
Let's get him before that game happens.
Well, he did a pregame thing last Thursday night. That's what got him in the bad voice, so
we'll see how he sounds, but Irvin tomorrow.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow, but first, we've got to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.